I feel very called to become a member of the Catholic Church.
Love the Catholic Church. It's just the best place to be.
From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also text the letters EWTN to 55000 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
A tremendous Thursday to each and every one of you. Thanks so much for joining us here on EWTN's Open Line. We talked the new evangelization on Thursdays. If you've got a question or a comment for Father Larry Richards, give us a call at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, we'd still love to hear from you. Your number is 1-205-271-2985, and we will expedite you straight to the front of the line, like having a fast pass at an amusement park. Wow. If you call 1-205-271-2985, and we don't even have a little statue that says you have to be this high to call. You can call no matter how high you are. That didn't come out just right, did it?
No, but hey, whatever works.
How tall you are. Is that better?
Yes,
okay,
there you go.
Very good. You can also send us an email, openline@ewtn.com, or you can text your question to Father Larry. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Text your first name and your question. Message and data rates may apply. You can also ask us a question on Twitter. Follow us at EWTN Radio. If you're not following us and you're on Twitter, take a second right now and follow us at EWTN Radio and use the hashtag OpenLine. I'm Jack Williams. Michael McCall produces the program. Your call screeners, Mr. Ryan Penny and Jeff Burson, handling our social media endeavors. What are you doing?
I'm trying to get my stuff worked here, and I took a picture of myself.
It works fine.
I don't know how it happened.
If you just stop touching things, we'll be fine.
Sure. We'll see.
Anyway, if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook Live, you're laughing hysterically right now, probably, at Father Larry
probably.
And his technological struggles. But you can type a question into that chat window, and we will get it on the air, perhaps, before the end of the program.
Perhaps.
Our host, as he is every Thursday, the technologically challenged Father Larry Richards.
I'm not usually technical, whatever. It's just something wrong with the computer. There you go. But it's all being fixed as we speak.
Okay.
Anyway.
There you go.
Hi, Jack.
Hi, Father Larry. I really look forward to Thursdays. It's always.
Yes. It's so weird.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Steve has got a great question in Oklahoma City.
Okay.
He says, years ago, I heard a homily by a priest. And he said that Satan gets too much credit for evil deeds. In other words, we do something wrong and we say it was really Satan, it wasn't me. What are your thoughts on that?
I'd agree. There's three things that make us sin. Well, that challenge us to sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil's one of them. You know, but our flesh sometimes can really get in the way of things, and our pride, you know, pride is the core of all of our sin. You know, if someone comes to me and I'm going through the questions with them in confession, and I say, I've been prideful. If they say no, I go, have you been prideful? And they go, no. I go, have you been prideful? And they'll usually say, okay, yes. I said, that's why you've done every other sin, is because of your pride. Even when you listen to Satan, you know, always. Even that's what they think about all the way back to Adam and Eve when God said, did you take from that tree? And Adam said, well, it was the woman that made me do it. Did you take from that tree? And he said, well, it was the devil that made me do it. And we always blame everybody else. And God wanted him to say, I did it because I did it. So, again, often when people come to confession, I say, hey, there's no excuse. You don't come in here and say, I did it because of da-da-da-da-da. You take responsibility. And when you take responsibility for your sin, then God can gladly forgive you. If not, it's not your sin anyway. It's everybody else's sin. You got to take responsibility. Jack.
How does the, I'll tell you. You know, it reminds me of, never mind.
never mind.
Here's a good question. Get your Blessed Mother and defense
Okay.
Ready at the ready here.
I'm ready.
Sal says, how can I share my Catholic faith when it seems to oppress women, homosexuals, and anyone who isn't an authoritarian?
Wow. Well, first of all, if that is the church, I would be leaving, because that ain't what God comes and through the church offers freedom to everybody. You know, it makes us more truly who we are. So if a homosexual comes to Christ, they're most truly who they are, which isn't defined by a sin or by an attraction. They're defined that they are beloved sons or daughters of the Holy Father, God of the universe. And so that's who you are. The problem is when the devil likes to call us by our sin, and we take that label and we put it on ourselves also. You know, so the reality is when we come to God, God makes us most fully who we are, and he frees us from those things that oppress us. So when it comes to the church, you know, especially again, going to women, as you already hinted, that Our Lady was the greatest of all the members of the church, and she's still the first member of the church, and she's still the queen of the whole church, and she is a woman. And when women are truly women, then they get to bring salvation to the world by their yes. I mean, again, that's the whole thing. The only time we sit there and talk about power is when we're thinking, you know, we're fighting over who has the power. And it should never be who has the power, but who can serve the most. You know, all of us are called to be servants. You know, and I often talk about, you know, my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother 14 generations ago was St. Elizabeth of Hungary. And it was because of her, who was a lay woman, and by God's grace had three children or I wouldn't exist, that she did what God wanted her to do in what she did in her power. And her power still to this day, 14 generations, and how many centuries is still known, because one woman said yes to do the will of God. So it's only a thing that when people are trying to put themselves first and our agenda first, and God has to accept me as I am. And of course, God must accept us as we is. That's what love is. But he loves us too much to keep us there. And if we're going to define ourselves by our sin, that's when we have a problem. And so just by saying to people, well, I think doing that's a sin, that isn't hurting them or oppressing them. It's setting them free. Because sin, ultimately, whether you like it or not, and it's not just homosexuality, sex before marriage is sin. If you have sex before marriage and you're not sorry, you can go to hell just as fast as someone who sits there and has homosexual behavior. Missing Mass on Sunday is enough to send you to hell for all eternity. So that means we must be oppressing everybody. We're telling them what God says. This is what God says, and God wants to set us free from those things that keep us away from him forever. So again, you have to always look about what is true and what's really being said here. And again, the core of everything is the church tells us most definitely who we are, beloved sons and daughters of the Father. And so then we got to live that way.
We've got an email here from Marie, and this is something that you've had some firsthand experience with, Father. And she says, I was wondering if you could talk a bit about non-Catholics teaching about Jesus in the Roman Catholic Church. Hmm. In particular, I'm asking about the Alpha for Catholics program, where each week for 10 weeks, Catholics watch and listen to videos of an Anglican vicar teaching about Jesus for about 30 to 40 minutes. This man, by virtue of his choosing to remain in the Anglican Communion, believes different things than we Catholics do about the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And she's wondering how we essentially rationalize that away as being okay.
Well, first of all, there are things we all agree with. And so I've spoken in Protestant churches, you know, and I share with what we believe in Protestant churches. But I also say how much we do agree. Like, we all believe we're saved by grace. And we use the Alpha program here in our church. And I am a big one about the fruits of Alpha. And again, there are many bishops and cardinals who are 1,000% behind it. You also have cardinals that are against it. But when we sit there and we're using it and saying this is what we all agree with, you can tell a tree by its fruit, and the fruit has been unbelievable. And it's just a precursor to get people in to accept Jesus and the grace of Christ, and then we bring them into RCIA, and many people in my own parish but throughout the world have become Catholic through the Alpha program. And again, if he was talking about when you talk about Episcopalians, Most, not all, you know, there's high Episcopalians and low Episcopalians. So there are Episcopalians that completely, 100% believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. They believe in transubstantiation, that Jesus Christ is truly present, 100% God, 100% man in the Eucharist. Now, the biggest difference between us and Episcopalians, anyway, would be who runs the church. And we believe the Pope runs the church. But that between high Episcopalians and low Episcopalians, that is the biggest difference between us. But again, if we can focus on what we all agree on, and if he was teaching things that would be like, if he on Alpha said, you know, you don't have to listen to the Pope, well, then that would be problematic. But if he's just talking about what we all believe, you need Christ for salvation, that's a glorious thing. So, again, depends what they're saying.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. EWTN's Open Line Thursday, talking the new evangelization with Father Larry Richards. EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Be sure to check out Pro-Life Weekly with Catherine Hadrow, Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time and again at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time right here on EWTN Radio. Again, 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. Plenty of time for your phone calls at 833-288-3986. First up today is Peggy in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Peggy, thanks for holding. You're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Peggy.
Hi, Father Larry. Hi. I returned to the Catholic Church 3 years ago, and I have some confusion about whether or not you're in a state of grace when you receive the Eucharist. The Catechism, I believe, and I might be wrong, states that we need to go to confession at least once a year, but it's my understanding that in order to be in a state of grace, you need to go to confession before the Eucharist.
No, that's incorrect. Yes, you need to be in a state of grace to receive communion. But even the teaching of the church about going to communion once a year, it says you must confess mortal sins once a year. The only thing that takes you out of a state of grace is mortal sin. So let's say you have not committed any mortal sins. Then you are in a state of grace. Your venial sins are taken care of at the beginning of the Mass when the priest says, let us call to mind our sins, and we put our heads down and we think about our sins and repent of them. And then the priest says, may Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. And that is an absolution of venial sin. So your sin, venial sin, is forgiven at the beginning of Mass, and of course then you are free to receive communion. If you've committed mortal sin, meaning you've purposely missed Mass on Sunday, you had sex outside of marriage, you committed adultery, you got drunk on purpose, you had an abortion, helped someone have an abortion, then you could not receive communion because you're not in a state of grace until you've been to confession. Does that help?
I see. Yes, it does. I came back to the church during the year of Divine Mercy, and I was told that if you walked through one of the Divine Mercy doors, that all of your sins from your past life would have been forgiven. Is that true?
It's true if you did all the stuff for it. It's called a plenary indulgence. You just, walking through the doors wasn't enough. You had to go receive communion 3 days before or 3 days after and go to confession 3 days before or 3 days after within that period of the 6 days or 7 days, whatever it is, and pray for the intentions of the Holy Father and then have no attachment to sin, even venial, which is always the big thing. But yes, it would be that all those things. But you can do that just by saying a rosary. There's a bunch of things. If you say a rosary in public, you do the Stations of the Cross, you do a Holy Hour, you can get a plenary indulgence if you do that with those stipulations I just said. So you can get plenary indulgence a day if you're doing all the stuff that is required to receive that plenary indulgence. And you can use that for yourself, or you can use that for someone who has died. You can't use it for someone who is living because they have their own things that they have to do, but you can use that. But again, there is no magic here, and there is no superstition. Just by walking through a door doesn't do squat. Just by doing certain practices doesn't do squat. That's why you need to have intimacy with Jesus, with communion, and you need to have a repentant heart with absolution through confession.
this church. Thank you, Father.
Thank you. God bless you. Thanks for calling us.
God bless you, Peggy. We appreciate that phone call. That frees up a line for you at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Father Larry, are you ready? We've got, obviously, an absolutely brilliant caller up next in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Obviously.
Jack is in Philadelphia listening on SiriusXM Channel 130. Jack, you are on with Father Larry.
Hello, Jack.
Hi, Father.
Hello, don't you want to change your name to Larry? Anyway, go ahead.
No.
No, you pagan. That's the end of it. I'm not answering any questions from Philadelphia today. What's up?
I don't blame you. It was suggested that I tell you what I told the screener.
Okay.
And that is, I have about an hour and a half commute to work in the morning and in the afternoon, and I get XM radios only so I can listen to EWTN. I do the Chapel of the Divine Mercy in the morning, and I listen to Open Line in the afternoon. And that's my only reason for keeping XM.
Mm-hmm.
Father, the call is how to evangelize my daughter.
Okay.
She went to Catholic school as a child. She received the sacraments, went to public high school, went off to college, and now she has this reluctance even to admit that God exists.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray to the Holy Spirit. I pray that he puts the words in my mouth, that he fills her heart. And I'm just wondering if you have any other suggestions as to what
sure.
I can do that to bring her back to the church.
Sure. Well, again, you're doing the biggest thing because you're praying for her, and you're the spiritual father, you're the spiritual leader, and you always have, because you were the one God used to bring into existence, so you always have special power in the life of your children. So by your praying for them, or like when you say the Divine Mercy Chaplet in the morning again, you put her name in there, because of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on Samantha or whatever her name is, and on the whole world. So now you're focusing the grace of God. But if you want to take it to the next level, then you fast for her, you know, and so you give Friday up and you fast on bread and water, you do just, no meat on Friday, whatever. You do that, and you do that for her. So now you're already the spiritual reality of God's grace is being focused towards her as a magnifying glass out in the sun. You're a spiritual magnifying glass. It's focusing all the grace of God onto your daughter's person. But then you got to sit there and help her to come to know that the deepest need in everyone's heart is to be loved. And as one of the earlier, things was when people sat there and says the church just oppresses people, that sometimes we have to change the perspective of the way people view God and view the church. If they just view God and the church as people that give us rules and you have to obey or you go to hell, I mean, who wants that? I wouldn't want it. I would run. If that's the only thing, if the God of the universe says, listen, I created you just to obey me or you will go to hell forever, then why bother to create me, Almighty God? God created you and me to love us and that we would respond in love to him. And so if you talk to your daughter about her own need for love and you just keep loving her, she should see you as the most loving person she knows. And if you just keep loving her and talking about a God who loves her and sets her free, and when she's alone in the middle of the night, that he's the one that embraces her, and that for her to come to experience that. You know, and again, one of the biggest things is I encourage people, I have it's not self-promotion, I'm just telling you, you can have her do it online, but I have a CD on just called Prayer, and it walks people through how to have an experience of God, because the reality is most people do not have true experiences of God. They're going to church, and they go to church because they don't want to go to hell, and they want to do this and that. Well, a good many people, let me say it that way, not most. But for them to have an experience of being loved, to hear God the Father say, you're my beloved daughter, you're my beloved son, then their deepest needs are met. But most people just see us as a bunch of rules that they have to follow, and a lot of times they don't agree with the rules, they don't agree with the teaching, and so it's easy for them to separate themselves from us. But if they come to know that when they go to pray, that's where they're most loved, then that's what's going to really transform them. But your prayer for her will open up that ground for things to start happening inside of her. Does that help you?
You've been most kind, Father. God bless you. Thank
God
you so
bless
much.
You. Thank you for calling us.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. And you know this firsthand in your own family, Father, that Jesus found this in his own ministry, that within our own families is the most difficult place to evangelize. And
absolutely.
And sometimes, you know, all we can do is pray.
And again, we can never despair. I mean, when I sat there, when my father, you know, when he died knowing Jesus. But boy, it took many, 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 many years of prayer. And there was really, I got more things about, okay, there's no hope here. But again, God, I put him in the Blessed Mother's arms, and God got him before he died. My mother, for many, 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 many years, did not go to church. She didn't do any of the stuff. She thought that the church was, you know, she was one of those people that thought that the church keeps people from God instead of drawing people to God. You know, she used to sit there and say, oh, yeah, you can't do that. You can't go to communion. You can't do this. Oh, yes. The only thing the church does, instead of inviting people to God, we would push people away from God. So it took many years for her to have a transformation of her heart, and many prayers and lots of fasting, you know. And so again, for the members of my family who still are not in God, that's what I just keep doing, is praying and fasting, knowing that God loves them more than I do, and he's going to get them back. So never despair, just keep praying and trusting.
Next up is Claire in Teaport, New Jersey, listening at EWTN.com, a first-time caller. Claire, what's your question today for Father Larry?
Hello, Claire.
Hi, Father.
Hi, Claire.
My granddaughter is being married in Ireland, and she's marrying an Anglican. She did get a dispensation from our diocese to marry an Anglican church. Uh-huh. However, she wants a communion service, and I told her that I would be unable to receive communion, and I wanted to check with you on that.
That's 1,000% correct.
Be families, and as they tell me, well, nobody will be looking at you, so they'll be looking at the bride. I said, well, that's good. I'm happy about that.
Yes, she
but,
should not receive communion either.
Again,
so that's not something. But you can go because she does have a dispensation, so the church allows her to get married there, so there's no qualms about you going there. Again, you just can't receive communion. You're correct.
Thanks, Claire. We appreciate that call. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Next up is Cheryl in Lake Havasu, Arizona, watching us on YouTube. Wave to Cheryl, Father Larry. Cheryl.
Hello, Cheryl.
You're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Father Larry. I have a very good question. Why won't the Catholic Church allow a family immediate member to say a eulogy inside the Catholic Church after the Mass service, because during the loss of a loved one is very difficult for that family?
Normally they do. So unless your diocese has things against it, like in our diocese, we allow a 3-minute eulogy after communion. It's, you know, after the it's after the closing prayer, we allow that. And most dioceses I know do allow that. But again, it's up to the bishop of the diocese, or it's up to the particular. That's where it usually falls on, is under the bishop of the diocese. But most people do allow a eulogy at the end of the Mass.
Yeah, I was able to do that here when my wife passed away at the funeral Mass. So.
Yes, and so most do. But again, what they don't want is, because the Mass primarily is for the salvation of the soul of the person. So a lot of times, if they have a lot of people want to say, they'll say, well, do that at the funeral home and do that stuff. But at the Mass, we, you know, a 3 to 5 minute eulogy after communion is the way it's done in most dioceses. So again, it is allowed. It's just, it's up to the bishop, but how that's allowed.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Talking the new evangelization on EWTN's Open Line Thursday with Father Larry Richards. EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Back to the phones we go. Avi is in Leawood, Kansas, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM Channel 130. Avi, what's your question today for Father Larry?
Hello, Avi.
Hello, Father Larry.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Blessed. What's up?
I wanted to ask you, how should I become a better Catholic boy in church?
The best thing to do is you pray and obey. That would be the greatest thing. And so what I mean about pray is that you just every day you pray. If it's a rosary, how old are you?
11.
Well, I remember when I was 11, I had a little altar in my room, and I had a cross there, and every day and every morning and every night I'd go kneel there in front of the cross, and I would pray and ask God to help me to always do what he wanted me to do. And that's what I did throughout until I went to high school, and I got a little off the deep end in high school, but then I came back by God's grace. And then you obey, first of all, by obeying your parents. If you're a good son, a good boy to your mom and dad, and you obey them, that is a great thing to do at your age. And then always to make sure you're obeying what the church teaches or what God teaches us about what to do. So if you do those two things, if you pray and obey, then part of the obedience is that you're going to love your family more. You're going to love, because that's what Jesus said, my commandment, my number one commandment of Jesus, his only commandment really, is that we love one another as he has loved us. So when you're praying and obeying, you are really loving people the way he wants you to love, because that's the first commandment he wants you to do. Does that help you, Avi?
Yes.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for calling us.
Thanks for that phone call, Avi. We appreciate it. The number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the number Jeff used in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on the iHeartRadio app, a first-time caller. Jeff, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Jeff.
Yeah, my question is, I was first taught to love Jesus by my grandparents, who are Protestant.
Sure.
And they lived, I don't know that they were saints, but they lived pretty good lives, and
sure,
they stayed married their whole lives to one woman.
Sure.
And
sure.
And I don't know, they might have committed some, they might have committed some sins along the way.
Well, of course. But I'm sure even if they did, Jesus still died for them too, didn't he?
Yeah, I was just wondering, because I have a lot of Protestant relatives, and
sure,
I came to the Catholic Church mainly because some of them don't have college degrees, and I had studied history, philosophy, and science,
mm-hmm,
and
sure,
I
sure
just went along more. But some of them really just don't, would never, I mean, they're good people, but they may be theologically off, but
sure. Well, again, the teaching of the church is, non-Catholics can go to heaven because of what Jesus did for them. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, he saved everybody. Now, how a person is incorporated into that, you know, we believe that Jesus was saved by the grace of God. It's what Jesus did. I was brought to Jesus, I talk about 1,000 times, is I was brought to Jesus at 17. Even though I was a prayer and everything else when I went away, it was Jesus. I got to know that Jesus was real, if you will, by Billy Graham. He's the one that led me to Christ. And so if Billy Graham, who is a Protestant pastor, can lead me to Christ and be a Catholic pastor and go all do everything that I do, the fruit is real there. And so again, in Lumen Gentium at Vatican II, it was very clear that Protestants also can go to heaven by what Jesus did for them. We don't have the fullness of unity yet on this earth. Their theology is not 100% correct, that's by definition, but God still judges them way different than we judge each other. Does that help?
Yeah, that's really comforting too, because I ask my Protestant friends to pray for me and I pray for them.
Well, sure, of course. I have good Protestant minister friends that pray with me all the time. We pray for each other a lot. And God is, you know, like again a couple of weeks ago, the gospel was very clear 2-3 weeks ago about how God wants us all to be one, and we got to work for that unity. You know, often we're only looking about those things that separate us, and of course there's things that separate us, of course there's real things that separate us, but there's a heck of a lot that unites us, and we got to focus on that too.
Thanks, Jeff. We appreciate that phone call. Still time for your calls, and one line open right now at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Next up is Amy in Augusta, Georgia, a first-time listener listening on St. Paul Radio. Amy, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Amy.
Hey, Father Larry.
What's up?
I was just calling. This is like, we've just been visiting family out west, and I have a niece who is Protestant Christian. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she is seriously dating a Catholic guy. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't know. They both believe, you know, that Jesus is the only way to be, faith in Christ is the only way to be free of our sins. So I didn't understand why parents on both sides are really having had a hard time with allowing this to go through. So I didn't know if you could tell me what the real problem is there.
Again, from the Catholic perspective, traditional teaching is, and law is, that Catholics should marry Catholics because it's just easier. When you marry people, and my father was a Presbyterian, my mother was a Catholic, so there's a lot of people can marry non-Catholics. That's not the point. But it's just easier if you all believe, like for instance, if they get married in the Catholic Church, or like we were just talking earlier, she can receive communion, but he cannot, or the other way around. Since she's not Catholic, she would not be able to receive communion. So every time they go to church, there's like a division there. Now, if they got married in her church and they had communion, and a lot of Protestants don't, but if they did, he, being the Catholic, would not be able to receive communion there. So that's part of it. Again, it focuses on differences we have instead of the unity we have. And again, when you go right, and you know, we all agree that we need Jesus for salvation and that we're saved by grace. But when it comes to a lot of the other things, you know, again, we believe man is, Catholics believe man is basically good, Protestants believe man is basically evil. That's why when Christ redeems us, Catholics believe we're totally transformed, Protestants believe we're like a damned mass, and Jesus covers us with his blood, or it's kind of like snow covering manure. We're still manure, but God the Father doesn't look at us, he looks at Jesus, and he sees the whiteness of it, so we're saved by Christ that way, but we believe we're totally transformed. Catholics believe you need scripture and tradition to understand the holy word, to understand what God wants of us. Protestants believe you only need the Bible. So there's some certain things in there that divide us. But there's more that unites us, you know. But it's just easier if a family comes, like if you get married in the Catholic Church or the permission of the Catholic Church, the Catholic party must stand up and say, I'll do everything in my power, respecting my conscience of my spouse, but I'll do everything in my power to baptize and raise the kids Catholic. So a Protestant would be sitting there and all these red flags would be going up. What do you mean you got to raise the kids Catholic? You know, I'm a Protestant. I've always been Protestant. And my father, in those days, it had to be the Protestant side had to sit there and say that they would raise the kids Catholic. And my father said that, you know, and by God's grace, I'm a priest. But the reality is, so it's not ideal, but it can happen. And again, my biggest thing is when people do get married, because, you know, we marry people outside of the Catholics and Protestants all the time, you know, and at least they're all Christians, you know. It becomes more interesting when they're marrying a Jew or they're marrying an atheist, and, you know, you have to go through all that, and what's that look like, and how does that work? It's not ideal, but God can do great things. So, both parents are looking at what makes us different instead of what's making us one. You're looking at what makes us one, which is a great thing.
Does that help, Amy?
Oh, cool. Well, thank you. That's really helpful. I didn't quite know what the main differences were.
Okay, well, there you go. And again, they're big differences, but they're all differences that we're working on. So we're all working for unity. So again, there's constant dialogue about how we can become one in Christ and fulfill his will. This is the will of God, that we're all one. So we got to keep praying for that.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. Still time for your calls at 833-288-EWTN. My hometown, St. Louis, Missouri, is where John is, listening on Covenant Radio, a first-time caller. John, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, John.
Hi, Father Larry.
Hi, John.
I just have a quick question.
Sure.
I'm getting ready to go out of town with my wife, my two children. Mm-hmm. And my sister-in-law is going to be tagging along. Now, my sister-in-law is
I wonder where this is going. Anyway, go
ahead. She's a fallen away Catholic, and we're giving two opportunities to, you know, go to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass.
Sure.
And I just want to be a most loving brother-in-law to her. Does she need to stay in the pew, or can she go up to, you know, during communion to, you know, with folded arms? What's the best way?
Well, and again, it depends on the diocese as you're going to be in. I mean, she could, if she knows herself, she's a fallen away Catholic. Like at my church, we allow people to come up and receive a blessing. She would not, unless she goes to confession. I mean, honest to goodness, she could maybe go to confession before Mass. You know, if the priest is, like we have confessions before Mass every week just for those type opportunities. But if she can't, then you just talk to her. You know, she should know that she wouldn't be able to receive the Eucharist, not in a state of grace, as we talked about earlier, and she should be able to go up and ask for a blessing. But you got to find out if that's allowed before, because I know I tell people to go up for a blessing, and some priests refuse to give blessings because they don't allow it in their diocese. You know, and so if that's true, I mean, you have to be respectful of the bishop. The bishop, of course, has complete say over that kind of stuff in his diocese, whether he allows it or whether he doesn't allow it. But again, yes, she would not. The main point of the thing is that she would not be able to receive communion, but unless she went to confession, or she'd be able to get a blessing if that's allowed. Does that help you?
Okay. Yeah, that most definitely helps. And okay. I thank you so much. Appreciate
thank you for calling. Thank you. God bless you.
Couple of open phone lines for you at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, we'd love to hear your question. That number is 1-205-271-2985, and we'll put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. Next up is Mike in Cleveland, Ohio, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM Channel 130. Mike, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Mike.
Hi, Father. Hi, how are you, sir?
I'm very blessed.
I just want to say I enjoy listening to you explain things. You do such a great job of doing
Thank
it.
You,
and I've
Mike.
Got a question that's been
sure.
bothering me lately, and it has to deal with why does, if he's all-powerful and all-loving God, why does he allow things like hurricanes, tornadoes, and cancer to kill what I would call innocent people?
Sure. Well, again, if life is just on this earth, then we're all miserable. St. Paul even said that. If our hope is just on earth, it's all miserable. But if you know that no matter when a person dies, whether, again, like everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there. And I always say, if heaven's everything we say it is, who's the one most blessed? The one that dies at 2 or the one that dies at 92? And we all say, well, 92, but it's not true. I mean, how long you want to stay in the womb? So just because a person dies does not mean that it's the end. In fact, it means it's the beginning. This world is not what we were created for. And if Jesus says, in the world you will have trouble, but have confidence, I've overcome the world. If Our Lady at Fatima says, I cannot promise you happiness on earth, then no one can promise us happiness on earth. But this God of love allows these things, but you always got to know that when the world puts a period, God puts a comma. And so when you see young people die and you see people dying because of all these cancer or everything else, that is not the end. It's just the beginning. And they get to begin eternal life, which is what we're all created for. So the God of love sees things way differently than we do. We see things as tragedy and everything's end. It's all sad. But God says, no, I got this child. I got these people that were just killed in the hurricane or the tornado or whatever. I got these people. Look at it from my perspective, you know. And so this world, think about it, is not the best place to be. You know, this is where on not home or passing through, we do the best here we can. We bring everybody as we can to bring them to come to know the love and the power of Almighty God. But we always got to remember that this is not the end. We're just going through.
Hope you know, we had a great homily. We have a noon mass here for the employees every day. And Father Anthony, one of the friars, one of the Franciscan missionaries of the Eternal Word, either last week or the week before, he said he was reflecting on the gospel, and he said two times in this gospel passage, Jesus tells the disciples that this is not their home. And he said, yet how much misery do we inflict on ourselves by trying to fit in this world?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Or try to find comfort here. I mean, that's why when Jesus says how hard it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom, he wasn't talking about the danger of riches so much as he was saying is that people that are rich like it here. You know, like when I go and I do missions and I'm in really nice places throughout the world, and I go, you know, when you live in a house that's on a mansion, it's hard to sit there and want to let this go because you want heaven to be now. You like it here. But God says, nope, this isn't home. This is not, don't get too comfortable. We're just passing through. And so it's always got to have that perspective when everything on earth, and then the tragedies that we see are not as big tragedies as we make them out to be. But it's still sad, especially if they're not dying right in the grace of God. But that's why it's always important that everyone comes to know the love of God and they surrender to that. So whenever God takes them, it's okay.
New this month from EWTN Publishing, Faith and Fury, The Rise of Catholicism During the Civil War. EWTN favorite Father Charles Connor shows how the tragedy and bravery of the Civil War created a new American Catholic identity. And Catholics today will discover ways to bridge the gulf that divides so many in our church and in our nation. That's Faith and Fury, The Rise of Catholicism During the Civil War by Father Charles Connor, available now at EWTNRC.com. Next up is Shelby and her posse, from what I understand, in Hayes, Kansas, listening on Divine Mercy Radio. A first-time caller, but I understand Shelby's got a carload of high schoolers that want to talk to you, Father Larry.
There you go. Hi, Shelby.
Hi, Father Larry. How are you?
I am very blessed. Do you have any pagans in that car?
Nope. We're all Catholic on our way to our Catholic conference.
There you go. What's up?
So we were just wondering what advice you have for teens on defending our faith in public schools.
The first thing is you got to make sure you know Jesus Christ. You know, so that comes from your own experience. Again, years ago, I've talked about it many times, but I met Mother Teresa, and we were in the University of Pittsburgh at a public college, and she was speaking to a bunch of social workers, and not Catholics. There was a lot of Catholics there. I was a young seminarian in those days, and she had questions and answers afterwards, and when she sat there and she had questions and answers, a guy got up and says, Mother, I have no respect of you. You do all these things for God, and there is no God, and you give people false hopes, and again, I wanted to show him was God. There was a God right then killing him and let him see the face of God. But that wasn't what Mother did. Mother sat there and says, oh, I feel so sorry for you, son. Jesus is alive and he loves you so much. And if only you'd come to know that and surrender to him, you would have peace. And something very similar to that. And this guy just fell in his chair, his mouth open, and he fell. It was like she took and hit him with a 2x4 because she spoke to him who she knew. She didn't debate with him, argue with him. She just shared with him. A friend of mine who was in my youth group when she was young, she was picked on a lot when she was in high school. And she's sitting in having lunch one day, and she's sitting there by herself. She was picked on and she's crying. And an older guy come up to her and wiped away her tear and says, Jesus wants to wipe away every one of your tears. Talk about evangelization. He brought gospel to where she was right then and there. And so instead of sitting there saying, you know, you probably aren't living the right way. That's why if you just start living the right way, then you'd have peace. But when he goes up to her and just doesn't know where she's at, just says, Jesus wants to wipe away every one of your tears. Now he had an audience. And this girl came to Christ because of that reality. So when it comes to dealing with the people around us, the first thing you do is you just pray for them. Pray for them, pray for them, pray for them. Pray for your teachers that think you're all nuts. Pray for those atheists who think that what's the point of all this? Just pray for them. Have a list and pray for them, because it's only the Spirit of God that can bring other people to the knowledge of God. It's all him. It's none of us, period. The second thing you do is you people, everyone in your car listening right now, should be the most loving people there are, because the way we love people, the way we bring people to the faith, first of all, is we love them into the faith. We don't argue people into the faith. People are trying to do that all the time. But again, it doesn't work all the time. It doesn't work. Love will bring people in. And we're not talking about, oh, I love you, you can do anything you want. That's not love. You know, love is wanting the best for them. But you should be the most loving person they know, da, da, da. And then the third thing you do. So you pray for them, you love them, and then you witness to them. And witnessing is, again, as we went about when I was talking about in the beginning, you witness to them the reality of what Jesus Christ has done for you in your life and what he can do for them. And if you do those things, then God can use you in a mighty way to bring many, many people to Christ Jesus, because that's what people respond to, and that's the best way you can do it, in my opinion. Does that help you, Shelby?
Yes, it did. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. It's very great to hear from you. Have a good time at your conference.
God bless you, and safe travels for all of you to the conference. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. Next up is Pat in Boise, Idaho, listening on Salt and Light Radio. Pat, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Pat.
Hi, Father Larry. I love your priesthood, and I appreciate what you do for the church.
Thank you. Pray for me, please. What's up?
Yes, I do.
Please.
So I started doing a 23-hour fast like you did. And,
good.
And I have found tremendous benefits out of it. One, yep. I realized the sin of gluttony, that I spent so much time thinking about food.
Yes.
And where to get it. And I have lost about 30 pounds. And
wow.
I look at it as a health benefit, but I also
sure.
do it. I say it as a spiritual fast.
Yep.
And so can I do it for multiple reasons? Is that
absolutely
wrong?
I do it for, like, I'm fasting today, and so I fasted every day this week except for yesterday. And so as I fast today, I offer it up for somebody. A lot of times for people who don't like me, or people who don't agree with me, or people that whatever, you know, you can do a lot for people when you're fasting for them. It's a great thing to bring unity amongst us all. But then I also do it because I'm a diabetic. It's helped my diabetes, keeps my weight off, it makes me healthier. I feel better than I've ever done my whole life by fasting every day. And again, people just sit there and say, Father, how do you have energy for anything? I have more energy, as you know. You have more energy when you're fasting than when you don't. So a lot of good things. But of course, God, spiritual beings, we are embodied spirits. We are union of body and soul forever. We're a human being. So of course, just like we do things for our body and spirit, when you fast, do it for all the reasons, because it all gives glory to God.
Does that help, Pat?
I was always concerned that I was doing it for the wrong reasons, and every now and then I would think
sure.
about someone worthy of prayer. And
absolutely.
So I'm glad to know it. Just so you know, since you've been to Boise, I now have a mm-hmm. radio show where I talk about men's issues, and I
bless
have a
God.
Group, I teach youth ministry. So, and I'm a revert. So
bless
I'm
God.
And it's been all
God
because
is good.
I started listening to you mainly.
There you go. I love Boise. I haven't been up there in a while. You tell those pagans they should invite me back. What's the matter with them?
You like.
There you go. God bless you, Pat, and we'll keep praying for you.
Very quickly, we'll head to Ruth in Jefferson City, Missouri. First-time caller listening on Covenant Radio. Ruth, about a minute and a half left with Father Larry. What's your question?
Hello, Ruth.
Hi, how are you?
Blessed. What's up?
I have two grandsons who married out of the church.
Yep.
They no longer attend the Catholic Church. And I heard
yep.
you mention earlier that if you miss one Sunday Mass, you can go to hell. So I know they
objectively,
don't go to Mass.
Objectively, of course. Sure. Well, that's why you got to pray for them. And again, for Catholics, that's what we believe, because a Catholic is bound by that. You know, and so the teaching of the church is they need to be going to Mass on Sunday, because unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you. So the biggest thing you need to do is just keep praying for them and loving them, as we talked about. And don't sit there and get on their case, because that sometimes drives them crazier. But if you just sit there and say, pray for them and say, honey, I pray for you every week. I pray for you every day. And I'm praying for you to come back, and how much God loves you and how much he wants to feed you with his own precious body and blood. And if you do that, that can do a lot. So don't hit him over the head with, you can go to hell forever if you miss Mass, but sit there and say, Jesus misses you and he wants you to be with him forever, and he feeds you with his own self if you just come home.
Does that help you, Ruth?
I'll try.
All right.
There you
God
go.
Bless
and that's
you, Ruth.
God will do the rest. You try and God will do the rest.
Put him in the Blessed Mother's arms. Pray
you
and fast
it.
For them. And let them do the rest, right, Father?
You got it. God is very real, and he can do great things if we just believe it and live it. Boy, does it happen every day.
Sow the seed. You don't have to go. We don't have to own a combine. We just got to have a sack full
of seeds.
It's
all God.
Father, would you be so kind as to leave us with a blessing?
Absolutely. God of love and mercy, we ask your blessing upon everyone who's listening to them. Help them to know your love. Help them to know your mercy and bring them deeper conversion in the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. On behalf of our host, Father Larry Richards, our producer, Michael McCall, our call screener, Ryan Penny, and our social media maven, Mr. Jeff Burson, I'm Jack Williams. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Back at it tomorrow, EWTN's Open Line Friday, talking theology with EWTN's own Vice President of Theology, Colin Donovan. And then back at it again on Monday with John Martinoni, Father Wade Menezes on Tuesday, Father Mitch Pacwa on Wednesday. Hope you have a tremendous rest of your Thursday. We'll see you again on Friday for Open Line Friday with Colin Donovan. Until then, God bless.